This is the Big K Morning Show. Welcome to the weekend. And again, Happy New Year. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen, who in some ways shares my fascination at the stars and the skies and the moon. And this is going to be in first of the new year, supermoon.
What gets me the most is when Jupiter and I think it's Mercury, Venus, one of the two, are close to the moon and shining so brightly, especially in the early morning hours.
What was that old song, Aquarius? When the moon,
yes,
is in the seventh hour.
Yeah, the fifth dimension.
And aligned with Mars.
Yep.
So we have become friends with, at least we feel that way, Professor Patrick Huth.
Good morning.
Who is a physics and astronomy professor at CCAC, Boyce Campus. Professor, good morning to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
So the skies don't pay attention to the calendar. That's really the basis for the calendar, is what happens in the sky, right?
Yes, absolutely. And just to note off the bat, they don't pay attention to the weather either. And with all the clouds that we have, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get to see too much this weekend unless the clouds give us a break in part. But yeah, it's a really interesting weekend. There's a full super moon, as you mentioned, and a meteor shower, and a couple other things going on too.
How often are super moons, how often do they happen, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it depends on how you count, and it depends on how you define a supermoon. So most people commonly define it as a time when the moon is within 90% of its closest approach to the Earth. Now, that happens because the moon's orbit's not a circle. It's stretched out a little bit. It's an ellipse. And during the month, the moon gets closer to the Earth and farther to the Earth. So if the moon is within 9/10 of its closest approach to Earth, most people refer to that as a supermoon, and that'll happen generally 3 or 4 times a year. The full moon that we have this weekend is the fourth in a string that goes all the way back to October of the moon being full, which means it's on the opposite side of the Earth from the sun, and also at its closest point in its orbit. Those two cycles line up about 3 or 4 times a year.
You know what I'm thinking, Doc, is a month from today will be Groundhog Day, so it'll be
exactly right.
Semi-full moon. I'm sure Groundhog Day has influenced the stars somehow.
Well, Groundhog Day is the point in the calendar when it's exactly halfway between the winter solstice, the first day of winter in December, and the spring equinox in March. So winter will be half over a month from today.
There are no coincidences.
No, on Gobbler's Knob. That said, all right, Professor, tell us about the meteor shower, too. And you said there were a couple of other celestial notes.
Yeah, okay. So the meteor shower is also a bit of an oddball. It's called the quadranted meteor shower. And I always tell people that in astronomy, we're really bad at naming things. And the meteor showers throughout the year are named after the constellation from which the shooting stars will appear from. They all appear like they originate in the same part of the sky. And of course, they streak all over the sky in random directions. But this one is in the constellation Quadrant, or Quadrans, which doesn't exist anymore. About 100 years ago, astronomers redrew the map of the sky and moved some of the boundaries and broke up the bigger constellations and eliminated some of the smaller constellations. And unfortunately, Quadrans got swept right out with those. But it's also an oddball because most meteor showers are Earth passing through the debris that's left behind when a comet visits the inner part of the solar system. And those little particles of ice and dust get into our atmosphere and cause those shooting stars. This one, this weekend's meteor shower, is the result of what we think might be an asteroid, or at the very least, the remnants of a comet that's no longer active. And that wasn't discovered until about 20 or 25 years ago. Before then, we had no idea why we had a meteor shower in January.
When we see a meteor entering our field of vision and it streaks across the sky, is it burning up in the atmosphere, or is it just kind of brushing by and continuing on?
They do both, and usually a shooting star or a meteor is burning up completely. They're just grains of sand and little tiny bits of ice, and they don't last very long, just a split second that you can see them. Occasionally, though, larger ones do bounce, like a skipping a stone off of a pond. They bounce off the atmosphere and end up back in space, and that's the other oddball thing about this particular meteor shower. It's known for having bigger and brighter meteors.
How concerned are you about a major asteroid hit in the future?
Well, that's always a fun topic, too. It's certainly a possibility because we know it's happened in the past. It's happened within the last century or so that a large meteor strikes the Earth and causes massive destruction. But I guess two things that are on our side is, one, it is a pretty rare event. Meteors hit the Earth every day, but they're also very, very, very small, and we don't even notice them. But the big ones are, there's many, many, many decades or even centuries between those big impacts. And most of the Earth is not really inhabited. There's lots of areas of water and deserts and tundra and all sorts of places where there are no people. And if a meteor hits there, it certainly wouldn't cause the damage it would if it was somewhere else.
All right. Our producer, Erin, is very demanding. She wants coordinates for the meteor shower, right?
Okay. Erin? So this meteor shower is best viewed after midnight. So this is a good one for people who like to stay up late. But if you can face north, and if you can find the Big Dipper, since the constellation that we use is no longer in existence, we'll just use the Big Dipper for our reference point. Most people can find that one. And if you look around the handle of the Big Dipper, you're close enough. Because, as I say, the meteors will shoot all over the sky in random directions. But that's the best advice, is after midnight, face north, find the Big Dipper, which is usually about a third or halfway up the sky about that time of night.
You got that, Erin?
I wrote it all down.
Hopefully the sky will clear enough to see any of this stuff tomorrow night. I did see the moon last evening early. It's pretty impressive, though, to see over the snow. Yep. You know, quite a pretty picture, actually.
Yeah, just like the Christmas poem, right? The gave the luster of midday to objects below. I saw it yesterday morning. I was out like everybody else shoveling the snow. And when the moon is closer, as it is right now, it does appear brighter in our sky. And that's what most people notice about the supermoon, is the increased brightness of it. And the snow on the ground certainly adds to that effect.
Fascinating. I love our conversations.
Thank you. Me too.
All right. Well, we're going to reach out again. That's a threat, not a promise.
Anytime.
Thanks. I appreciate it. All right, that's Professor Patrick Huth, CCAC. He is a physics and astronomy professor.
I like it when you bring him on.
Oh, I love
it. I usually learn something new, and I did again.
Yeah, absolutely. If you listen to us for another 25 years, you'll have a PhD on what not to know. Weather turns bad. Tune to KDK Radio. We've been through that several times this year. The KDK Radio Storm Center is brought to you by Duquesne Light Company, larger than light. And check us out, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, of course, online and on our free Odyssey app, AUDACY. So this is a great time of the year. People are kind of cleaning off their desks, whether that be real or at least mentally. And changes for the new year. Billionaire Warren Buffett, I guess, is bagging it, right?
He's stepping down. I think it's on Wednesday, according to the article I was looking at earlier. I mean, this is a guy, when he talks about investing, people stop and listen because of his track record, which has almost always been very successful. And he's always done his thing in Omaha. He's never turned into a, you know, ultra billionaire with a, you know,
yeah, where he's
jet setting around, a giant, you know, yachts, all of that stuff.
He drives an old Cadillac, still goes to the drive-thru at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Still lives apparently in the same house. Now, I'm sure
that doesn't surprise me.
Upgraded the appliances maybe once or twice. But the one thing he said he can't do without, if they asked him, that wealth provides him is his jets.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
no, I get that. I get that. So he summed up his investing approach by saying, this is a great quote, "Be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful."
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then he warned his employees in his wisdom on his last day, I guess, to make sure they're comfortable with anything they do being reported the next day on the front page of the paper. So my guess is that it was his message on Wednesday of this week, and he is done. And speaking of investing, 2025 was really pretty good. The S&P 500 is on track for its third consecutive double-digit gain for 2025, or at least it was at the time of that report. And President Trump's tariffs on upholstered furniture, kitchen cabinets, and vanities have been delayed for a year. They say because of ongoing trade talks, they may be able to work something out. So for those of our listeners who are thinking about doing some things in the kitchen or the living room or perhaps the bathroom, on upholstered furniture, kitchen cabinets, and vanities, no tariffs this year.
Interesting, because, yeah, this also, a bunch of new laws, tax laws, too, go into effect for the new year. And obviously, people want to know, how am I benefiting from
that? Well, I can tell you right now that our listeners over 65 and up, are now getting an additional $6,000 deduction on top of the $2,000 senior deduction that's already in place. And that, of course, is all on top of your standard deduction. So there are a fair number of people who are going to be getting very large checks this year from the Fed, from the Treasury Department, over 65. And this is what the president was talking about when he was talking about no taxes on Social Security. It's a temporary thing. I don't think it'll last for, 3 years.
Interesting.
But I'm very curious to see how that impacts my tax return this year. I just qualify. I just got in under the wire back in July.
No, you can't file yet. When do you file?
Not until we get all our stuff. I guess toward the end of January is when we get all our things.
So,
W-2s and forms from tax forms from the investments and what have you.
If you work for a company and you're under W-2s, that has to be, they have to get you those by the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of companies don't get them to you on time. And it's really on them. But apparently nobody ever does anything about it because it's pretty common practice. I got a story for you. I want to dial back to Christmas morning. Aaron, you locked in? Oh, you're talking.
Are we talking about Christmas?
I'm here.
Morning
Christmas
at your house?
So, my wife was supposed to make meatballs for a whole bunch of people, right? She said, "Larry, this ground beef is bad. I'm there. There's nothing open."
Yeah, that's not good.
Giant Eagle, everywhere was closed. Every butcher shop I
yeah,
tried.
Yeah, that's a pickle.
So, she's like, "What are we going to do?" She goes, "Well, I guess we're not going to have them." I said, "Wait." I kept searching, and I found Eichner's Farm Market in Wexford, which has been there since 1897. If you know the Wexford Flats, it's right down Richard Road from the McDonald's there. Which
Oh, I know where you're talking about.
There are twin brothers, and one of them answered the phone. And he said, "Eichner's Farm Market." I said, "I can't believe you're there. Are you actually open?" "I'm here. I'm open. What do you need?"
Wow.
I said, "I need several pounds of ground beef."
Lifesaver.
Eichner's to the rescue.
He goes,
"Truly.
I got it." So I said, "I'm coming right over. I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Nice.
Pulled in. It was like a movie. You drive back, and this is an old farm in the middle of all this development. And I roll down the window as I'm pulling up because I see him walking through the mud on the parking lot surface. And he goes, "Larry Richard."
Wow.
Because me and my brother, that's my twin brother. And they all came over. And he could not have been nicer, both of them, and telling me about the history of their farm. And you know what he said? And I thought you'd appreciate this, Aaron. He goes, "You know, we sell turkeys, too. It's not just Tim and Beverly Pound."
Oh.
Out of Pound's Market. They
wow.
go, "By the way, we know Tim and Beverly. They're wonderful people." So they knew them. I said, "Well, I didn't know you had turkeys here."
They threw their hat in the ring.
Then they gave me a whole explanation of the health of their eggs from their chickens and the science that goes in behind it. And then he goes, here, he gave me this Himalayan salt. He goes, mix this in a mason jar and take a teaspoon every day. It'll help your electrolytes. And then he gave me some dry flowers.
What a character.
I'm like, oh, that's
my God. That's amazing.
So,
Merry Christmas, the Christmas meatball story.
Right.
This is a good one.
And by the way, I took credit for how the meatballs tasted, even though I had nothing to do with actually making this stuff. It's 'cause
did you tell your guests that it would have been bad meat if it wasn't for you?
We'd have used that bad meat, we'd all be in the restroom. Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Saved by the Eichner Farm Market.
How cool is that?
Thank you, boy. Tonight, our high school basketball game of the week, kicking off 2026. And the voice, our play-by-play master, Josh Roundtree, joins us for a preview of Central Catholic and Penn Hills. Josh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Larry. How are you?
Good. You do anything exciting over the holidays the last couple of weeks?
Nothing really. I mean, just got some, you know, quality time with family. As you know, my schedule sometimes is a little busy. So, got a little bit of downtime, a little bit of time to just sort of sit around and watch Stranger Things. And that was, that was probably the highlight of the last 2 weeks. So, that's about it. But yeah, just, obviously some good time here over the holiday break, and now refreshed and ready to go for 2026.
Before we get into tonight's matchup, I want to ask you about, because I know you're obviously a sports aficionado as well, just curious your thoughts on the Steelers' Sunday night football national TV game, basically the game of the weekend with the Ravens coming and with everything on the line. Steelers fans a little anxious after their performance in Cleveland. What do you think?
Well, I think they should be anxious, right? I mean, you had a chance to, you know, have a week here where you can kind of rest your starters and be comfortable and just watch and get ready for the postseason. And now instead you're in, I mean, the ultimate pressure situation that a regular season game can have. You know, win and you're in, lose and, you know, it's time to make the flight arrangements to go to Cancun, I guess, if you're the Steelers. I mean, that's what it comes down to right now. So, obviously they've put themselves in a tough situation, little concerned about their, you know, injury and availability issues with, you know, Darnell Washington out. And then obviously no DK Metcalf as well, concerned how they're going to play offensively. But, you know, we've seen this team before kind of get their back against the wall and come out and find a way to get it done. So, I really wouldn't be surprised either way. I'm not sure I love the way this is trending for them right now, but, we've seen this team pull out some kind of crazy performances before. They've done it here this year, winning in Baltimore, winning in Detroit. I don't think anybody expected either of those games to be victories for them. And, obviously they have their backs against the wall here. We'll see how they respond with it.
Yeah, this is for the division title too. And I believe I read that Aaron Rodgers will get a $500,000 bonus for making the not only making the playoffs, but winning the division, more importantly.
Well, that would be nice. I mean, wouldn't you like to have a $500,000 bonus just for doing your job relatively well?
Yeah, it would take the edge off the weekend. And then they'll be the fourth seed and would host a wild card game the following weekend. So we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, what's happening tonight? Central, always in the thick of things. So is Penn Hills.
Yeah, these are two programs that, you know, over the last several years, I think have just been really, really solid. And traditionally as well, really solid programs. And I think they're both really well-coached teams. Brian Urso on that Central Catholic side, he's, a guy that has college ties, but now has been at Central for 7 years and just a really good basketball mind, has his team playing great defense. I mean, that's really been a staple, Larry, of their program for years now, is just the way that they defend, the way that they just attack you. They can smother you defensively, and they're doing it so far this year. I mean, you just look at their defensive numbers. They're giving up less than 39 points per game, which is an insane mark. But on the other side, Penn Hills, They're only giving up 43 points a game, but you know, they're a really well-coached team. I think Chris Giles is just an exceptional coach for them. He's done a great job. A guy that had a really decorated playing career, played at West Mifflin, and then was one of the best players in the history of Seton Hill basketball, played professionally, some overseas as well. And he's done a really terrific job coming into this program. And now in year number six with them, has them, I think, playing some good basketball. I mean, they're a really good defensive team. Both teams, I think, trying to figure it out right now offensively a bit. And both of them have kind of turned things around after maybe a couple of stumbles early in the season. Central Catholic's 8-1. I mean, they're really solid. They had an early season loss. They did not play very well in, particularly offensively against Moon, but they've kind of hit their stride since then, winning seven games in a row. And Penn Hills on the other side, they're kind of clicking right now. They lost their first four games, but they've come back and won five in a row now. So you have a five-game winning streak and a seven-game winning streak meeting tonight. This is a non-section game. It's a 5A team against a 6A team, but I think it's just a really good basketball game, and it should be a fun way to bring in 2026 with a great matchup between these two teams.
Well, it's enjoyable every Friday night to hear. Josh, you do the play-by-play, and these high school games are exciting. If you haven't been to one for a while, they're, you know what the beauty is? You get a lot of good action, and the games don't last 3-4 hours.
I know. It's so funny because there's times where, you know, we tip off it, you know, especially tonight. I mean, I don't live all that far from Penn Hills, and you know, there's times where, you know, we'll tip off at 7:30 and I'll be walking in my front door just after 9 o'clock. So it is nice. I mean, the games can move relatively fast, particularly if you have officials that don't get a little overambitious with their whistles. But, you know, I do think that, you know, it is fun. It's entertaining and it's quick. You're right. I mean, it's a very quick entertainment option for you. And
yeah,
obviously it's good as well. It's a lot of fun.
Good stuff. All right. Well, have a great weekend. Thanks for your input, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Happy New Year.
You got it. That's Josh Rountree, our play-by-play voice of our high school basketball game of the week tonight, with pregame starting at 6:00.